Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 360 DigiTech second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. Please also note today's event is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference call over to Ms. Mandy Dong, IR Director. Please go ahead, Mandy.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. Our results were issued earlier today and can be found on our IR website. Joining me today are Mr. Wu Haisheng, our CEO and Director, Mr. Alex Xu, our CFO and Director, and Mr. Zheng Yan, our CRO. Before we begin the prepared remarks, I'd like to remind you of our safe harbor statement in our earnings press release, which also applies to this call. We may refer to forward-looking statements based on our current plans, estimates, and projections. Also, this call includes discussion of certain non-GAAP measures. Please refer to our earnings release for our reconciliation between non-GAAP and GAAP ones. Last, unless otherwise stated, all figures mentioned are in RMB. I will now turn the call over to our CEO, Mr. Wu Haisheng.
大家好，非常高兴和大家分享我们再次创造纪录的一个季度。Q2 单季度，我们通过我们平台的放款量达到885亿，再次刷新我们的历史新高，同比增长50%。环比增长19%。贷余额在千亿大关上继续迅猛增长，达到1176亿，同比增长50%，环比增长15%。财务方面，2021年Q2总收入达到40亿人民币，同比增长20%，环比增长11%。Non-GAAP净利润达到16.2亿，同比增长71%，环比增长15%。
Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to report another quarter of record-breaking operational and financial results. During the quarter, financial institutions originated RMB 88.5 billion loans through our platform, marking another record high, up 50% YoY and 19% QoQ. After reaching RMB 100 billion milestone in Q1, outstanding loan balance continued to grow to RMB 111.6 billion in Q2, up 50% YoY and 15% QoQ. Total revenue was RMB 4 billion in Q2, up 20% YoY and 11% QoQ. Non-GAAP net income was RMB 1.62 billion, up 71% YoY and 15% QoQ. Despite the continuously changing macro and regulatory environment, we have delivered five consecutive quarters of record-breaking results. Over the past few years, we have built a comprehensive operational system that demonstrates remarkable resilience through the cycles. To be more specific, our diversified users, acquisition channels, and scenarios allow us to effectively hedge against any volatility from a particular channel. Our extensive network of diverse financial institution partners gives us sufficient flexibility in terms of funding costs, geography coverage, and pricing. Our full spectrum risk management capabilities allow us to target different user segments with effective pricing based on different market dynamics. Our access to some key financial license also give us ecosystem great flexibility to comply with the ever-changing regulatory environment.
最近一个多月以来，中概股包括 QFIN 在资本市场经历了巨大的震荡。虽然客观上有多重风险因素的叠加，但我们认为当前市场的反应过度考虑了负面的因素，忽略了公司本身坚实的基本面和优异的成长性。因此，经过管理层慎重考虑决定，董事会的批准，我们将发起一项股票回购计划，在未来一年的时间里，公司将通过公开市场购买等形式回购最多2亿美元的公司 ADS。 我们认为在当前市场环境下，回购是最有效利用现金产生良好收益回馈给我们的投资者的最好方式。
Over the last 6 weeks or so, QFIN, along with other Chinese ADRs, has experienced extreme volatility in the market. While there are multiple risk factors triggered, such as share price movement, we believe the market is overreacting to the negative elements and ignoring the solid fundamental and strong growth prospects of QFIN. As such, after careful evaluation, with the approval of our board,Management decides to launch a share buyback program. The company intends to repurchase up to $200 million of its ADS through open market or other form of transaction over the course of next 12 months. We believe at current market conditions, share repurchase offers extremely attractive opportunity to exploit our cash and to generate great returns to our shareholders.
我们之前提到的多项战略在持续打开，稳步兑现我们巨大的增长潜力。首先，我们多元化的获客的战略进展显著，整体获客量持续增长，客群的质量不断优化，嵌入式金融贡献突出，整体获客量达到近6个季度的最高值，环比增长10%，线下渠道小微获客的增长非常巨大，嵌入式金融在 Q2 贡献新授信客户占比接近40%，我们已经与22家头部平台建立了合作，还有8家在继续排队等待中。
We continue to make progress in multiple strategic initiatives and gradually unlock tremendous growth opportunities.We made significant progress on diversified user acquisition strategy. Customer base continued to grow and customers' quality improved steadily. Our embedded finance model grew significantly. The number of new borrowers in Q2 hit the highest level in the past 6 quarters, up by more than 10% sequentially. The number of SME borrowers acquired offline also increased significantly.Our embedded finance model contributes close to 40% of our new customers with approved credit lines in Q2. So far, we have established cooperation with 22 leading traffic platforms with another 8 in the pipeline.
我们的小微业务在 Q2 取得了突破性的成绩。通过加强和头部伙伴的合作，持续优化审批政策和额度策略，Q2 小微企业贷款新增授信额度71.2亿，环比增长22%，余额环比增长45%，平均授信额度突破25万。同时，我们针对不同行业的特征上线定制化产品，7月我们成功上线了烟商贷，累计服务超过700家线下烟草商户，下半年会进一步在跨境电商、供应链金融、农林农产业等场景中推出行业专属产品。
Our SME finance business also achieved a breakthrough performance in Q2. By strengthening our ties with the leading industry partners and optimizing credit approval process and policies, total amount of new approved credit line increased 22% Q-on-Q to RMB 7.1 billion, and outstanding loan balance increased 45% sequentially, with every ticket size exceeding RMB 250,000. Meanwhile, we are rolling out customers' long products catering to the specific funding needs of different industries. In July, we launched tobacco business loan and have served more than 700 offline tobacco business owners. In the second half of this year, we plan to launch other industry-specific loan products targeting cross-border e-commerce, supply chain finance, as well as agriculture and forestry sectors.
我们的科技战略升级在 Q2 继续快速推进。Q2 的轻资产模式放款量占比达到 56%， 七月份占比甚至更是接近 60%， 已经非常接近我们的全年目标。智能营销产品智信引擎 Q2 的交易人数环比增长 74%， 交易金额和代贷余额均增长 36%。
Loan facilitation under the capital light model accounted for roughly 56% of total volume in Q2. And for the month of July, capital light accounted nearly 60%, almost reached our full year goal for tech upgrading strategy. For our smart marketing product, ICE, Intelligence Credit Engine, the number of active users increased 74% Q-on-Q.The transaction volume and outstanding balance both went up by 36%.
大家也比较关心近期的监管动态，我们分享一点关于监管的看法。作为四月二十九号的十三家被乐坛平台之一。我们与监管的沟通非常的密切和通畅，目前的整改工作正在非常有序的进行，我们非常深刻地感受到监管对于行业规范发展的要求和期待。我们整体业务比较专注，合规性很清晰，不涉及支付业务、保险业务和证券业务，助贷业务也不涉及联合贷，没有超杠杆发行 ABS 和使用缴贷资本，因此我们非常有信心能够满足监管整改要求。
As for the recent regulatory changes, we want to share a few thoughts here. As one of the 13 leading internet platforms on the April 29 regulatory meeting, we have maintained regular and close communications with regulators. Currently, the self-assessment and the related rectification process are moving forward in an orderly manner.We fully understand the regulators' requirements and expectations for the industry. Overall, our business is relatively focused and has a clear path towards full compliance with regulatory requirements. We don't have online payments, online insurance, or online brokerage operation, which are subject to more restrictive regulations. For our loan facilitation business, we don't do joint lending,nor have over-leveraged ABS insurance. Thus, we are highly confident to satisfy all of the revised regulatory requirements when everything is set and done.
对于市场关注度比较高的征信断直连问题，我们比较早的和监管部门进行沟通，明确了政策的导向，提前准备，我们会顺应监管的要求与现在的个人征信机构合作，同时我们会寻求参与发起、设立或者入股个人征信机构。
As you may already know, the proposed new regulation will not allow loan facilitation platforms to provide credit assessment-related data directly to financial institutions, and such data transfer must go in through a licensed credit agency.We have preemptively communicated with the regulators to understand the policy direction and to make necessary preparations. We will take multiple actions to satisfy this new regulation. On one hand, we can cooperate with existing third-party credit agency. On the other hand, we can also seek partners to jointly launch a new credit agency.
对于市场传言的消费金融公司综合融资成本控制在24%以下的问题，我们对此有心理准备，我们也提前做了这个提前准备， 我们的自营业务和小微业务已满足这一要求，对于我们的助贷业务，按照严格的压力测试，整体假设整体平均定价短期内下降到22到23左右，对于2021年的业务和财务指标基本没有影响。2022年作为调整定价的过渡年，我们预计整体业务仍然可以实现健康的增长，综合 take rate 仍可以达到3%左右。定价下降带来的诸多的正面影响，也会对冲由此产生的负面因素。定价下降后，可以让我们进一步打开更优质的客群，通过对接更多大型全国性银行和增加 ABS 发行，进一步降低资金成本，稳定资金来源。另外，定价下调后，低价产品的优质客群对应的风险自然也会下降。我们预估消费贷年化风险会有1到2个百分点的降幅。同时，根据历史经验，定价下调将会提高动支率、客户留存率和用户的生命周期。综合看来，定价下调会引入更优质的客群、更优质的金融机构，整体提升我们这个系统的运营效率。这种提升可能很大程度上对冲掉单纯的价格下降带来的影响，而且将具有更好的可持续性，为2022年以后的重新加速增长奠定良好的基础。因此，目前我们对这件事保持非常乐观的态度。
Recently, some media reports indicate that regulator will require consumer finance companies to implement an all-in interest rate cap of 24% for consumer lending. This is consistent with the regulator's long-term agenda to support real economy by lowering financing costs for consumers and SMEs. This is also consistent with our long-term business planning. Our own balance sheet loan and SME loan business already priced below 24%.For our consumer facilitation business, even under a more restrictive stress test, in which we assume to cut our price to below 24% rather rapidly, we do not expect the price cut to have a meaningful impact to our operational and financial results in 2021. As for 2022, it will be a transitional year when the entire industry will comply with the 24 rate cap by June ending. In our stress test,We continue to see healthy volume growth in 2022, and net take rate should be around 3%. There are also some positive factors that may mitigate negative impact from the 24% rate cap. With lower price, we should be able to develop a partnership with larger national banks that typically offer more stable funding at lower funding costs. In addition, with all of our assets at 24% or lower,we should be able to significantly increase the issuance of ABS, which typically carries at a much lower funding cost, around 5 to 5.5% versus around 7% from banks. Furthermore, at lower prices, we can attract more high-quality borrowers, which will naturally drive down overall credit costs by 1 to 2% points on IR basis. Finally, based on our experience,Lower pricing normally boosts the borrow activities, retention rate, and lifetime value LTV. To conclude, we believe more prime customers and better quality financial institutions would come along with lower price products. This will ultimately enhance our operational efficiency and make our business more resilient and sustainable. Such changes may set up a solid base for us to accelerate it growth after 2022. We feel quite optimistic.
我们的 app 暂时下架也是大家比较关心的，原因是我们的技术人员遗漏了 app 监管部门要求修改的某项功能。目前修改后的 app 已经在各大应用商店重新上架，这纯粹是个技术失误，我们内部做了非常多的复盘和总结，以确保此类事件不再发生。好在我们多元化的获客渠道和产品矩阵，下架对我们的影响比较有限。
I would now like to address the temporary removal of our 360借条 app from App Store. The removal was due to our product engineer missed out one of the functions that was required by the regulators. We have already fixed the issue, and our app has been restored to all major app stores to today. We have conducted a thorough internal review and improved our operating protocol to ensure such incidents never happen again. Thanks to our diversified customer acquisition channel and a balanced product mix, the impact from app removal to our operation has been minimal.
业务方面，我们在资金端和风险端不断强化多元能力。二季度 ABS 的发行节奏提速，有效地进一步降低资金成本。在 Q2， 新发行 ABS 资产21亿，平均利率5.3%。今年累计发行34亿，发行量在全市场排名第四。风险端稳健地支持了更多的业务线条，整体风险进一步优化，经我们撮合的资产风险表现进一步向好，90天的 delinquency ratio 进一步降至1.19%， M1 回收率继续保持90.8%， Day One 逾期率继续保持在5%。
During the quarter, we continue to diversify our funding source. We accelerated the pace of ABS issuance with a total of RMB 2.1 billion ABS in Q2 at an average coupon rate of 5.3%. This has brought our total ABS issuance to RMB 3.1 billion so far this year, ranking us number 4 in the market. As our risk management system supports more business lines, we continue to see further enhanced of our asset quality. The 90-day plus delinquency ratio across our platform was 1.19%. The M1 collection rate remained stable at 90.8%, and day one delinquency rate at 5%.
我们和京城银行战略合作规模持续扩大，截止2021年6月，累计放款335亿。Q2 末余额达到204亿，相比 Q1 的余额增长60%。我们预计与京城的合作规模在未来一段时间内将保持相对稳定。京城银行和我们有极大的合作灵活度和信任程度，我们将通过与京城的合作积极探索新的产品和业务。
We continue to expand the scale of our collaboration with KCB. Total accumulated loan facilitation volume as of Q2 was RMB 33.5 billion. Outstanding balance was RMB 20.4 billion at the end of Q2, up 60% from Q1. We expect the scale of the KCB partnership to remain relatively stable for the time being. We have deep-rooted trust and great flexibility in our collaboration with KCB. Going forward, we will proactively explore new products and business opportunities through our cooperation with KCB.
在市场关注度逐步提高的 ESG 方面，我们脚踏实地地做了很多事情。今年七月，河南的水灾，我们立即驰援，通过360公益基金会捐赠2000万元，同时我们也积极地组织河南当地的员工积极参与救援行动。
We made some good progress on the ESG front, which drew more and more attention. When deadly floods hit Henan province this July, we took swift action to support by donating RMB 20 million through the 360 Foundation. Meanwhile, we organized the local team to join the rescue efforts.
回头看21年的上半年，我们是非常满意的。我相信这不是一个偶然发生的成绩，这是一个十分优秀的团队付出非凡努力的结果。在这里，我也想表达一下对团队的感谢。这是一个巨变的时代，历史表明，在巨变中才会涌现出伟大的公司。我们用了5年多的时间，证明我们是一个有这样的决心 和有这种能力的团队，我们将持续创新，推出多种产品和服务。金融科技一定是一个世界级的赛道，金融科技也将深刻改变金融服务和用户体验。我们的目标是成为这个领域最领先的公司。
Overall, we are quite satisfied with our performance in the first half of 2021. This fruitful result comes along from dedicated efforts of our excellent team. I would like to express my gratitude to their hard work. We are in a time of rapid changes, and great companies are always born in great change. We have successfully demonstrated our capabilities and ambition over the past 5 years. FinTech is a vast market with huge potential, and FinTech products have profoundly changed financial service landscape and user experience. We will continuously launch innovative products and are dedicated to become the premium player in this market.
下面由我们的 CFO Alex 给大家带来更多详细的数据，谢谢。
Now let me turn to our CFO Alex to run through more detailed info. Thank you.
Thank you, Haisheng. Good morning and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly earnings call. For the interest of time, I will not go over all the financial line items on the call. Please refer to our earnings release for the details. As Haisheng mentioned, we delivered robust operating and financial results for the first half of 2021, powered by strong consumer demand for credit and further improvement in asset quality. The strong business momentum appears continuing into current quarter. In fact, we have seen record-breaking volumes in recent months, despite some reported softness of microeconomic activities lately. Total net revenue for Q2 was $4 billion versus $3.6 billion in Q1 and $3.34 billion a year ago. Revenue from credit-driven service, capital heavy, was $2.4 billion, compared to $2.45 billion in Q1 and $3.08 billion a year ago. The year-over-year decline was mainly due to facilitation volume mix change as capital-heavy contribution decreased significantly. Revenue from platform service, capital light, was $1.6 billion compared to $1.15 billion in Q1 and $259 million a year ago. The robust growth was mainly driven by exceptional progress we had made in Capital Light and other technology solutions. During the quarter, Capital Light and other technology solutions contributed roughly 56% of total loan volume, while the underlying take rates were relatively stable. We expect Capital Light contribution percentage to continue increase in the second half, and to reach roughly two-thirds of our total volume by the year-end. During the quarter, average pricing was 27.2% compared to 26.6% in Q1 and 27.2% a year ago. Assuming the reported 24% rate cap guideline will be implemented across industry, we are expecting overall pricing to gradually trending down through mid-2022 to satisfy the rate cap requirement. In our stress test, even under the more restrictive and steep rate cut scenario, where we assume we cut the rate to below 24% starting from September the 1st, in such scenario, we should still be able to maintain healthy growth and profitability in the transitional year of 2022 and resume to a more robust growth afterwards. As microeconomic activities picked up in China in the first half, demand for internet traffic also increased significantly along the way. In addition, we also proactively accelerated the pace of customer acquisition in the last couple quarters to take advantage of the overall positive business trend. As such, we have experienced some uptick in sales and marketing expenses. average customer acquisition cost on the consumer lending side for the quarter was about RMB 237 compared to RMB 206 in Q1. As we discussed in the past, average cost per approved credit line is a calculated number with limited value in our decision making. We will continue to use lifecycle ROI and LTV as key metrics to determine the pace and scope of our customer acquisition strategy. So far in 2021, healthy ROI trend have encouraged us to take a more proactive approach to accelerate the growth of our customer base. Non-GAAP net income was 1.61 billion in Q2 versus 1.41 billion in Q1 and 942 million a year ago. We once again set a new record in quarterly profitability driven by higher facilitation volume and noticeable improvement in asset quality. Effective tax rate was approximately 18% for the quarter and for the first half of 2021. We see a similar level of ETR for the rest of the year. Longer term, we are expecting our normalized ETR to return to approximately 15%. As we move towards a more technology-driven business model, we continue to see marked improvement in operating margins as increasing contribution from capital light and other technology solutions will generally lead to higher margin structure. Overall, we expect profitability growth to be more or less keep pace with the facilitation volume growth throughout this year. With strong operating results and increased contribution from capital-light model in Q2, our leverage ratio, which is defined as risk-bearing loan balance divided by shareholders' equity, further declined to 4.8% from 4.8 times from 5.4 times in Q1 and 8.3 times a year ago. We expect to see continued deleveraging in our business, driven by further movement toward capital-light and solid operating results. Total cash and cash equivalent was 8.8 billion in Q2 compared to 9.2 billion in Q1. Non-restricted cash was approximately 5.2 billion in Q2 versus 6 billion in Q1. The modest decline in cash was mainly due to more proactive deployment of cash in our operations to support ABS and pre-ABS assets, which generates higher returns. Meanwhile, a significant portion of our cash was also allocated to security deposit with our institutional partners and registered capitals of different entities to support our daily operation. As we continue to generate strong cash flows through operations, we believe our current cash position is more than sufficient to support the expansion of our business, to invest in key technologies, and to satisfy potential regulatory requirements. Therefore, we believe it is a prudent decision to use some of our quote-unquote free cash to invest in our own stock, which is priced just around the company's liquidation value. For a company that is still generating healthy growth for the next few years, we believe it is a great bargain. Finally, let me give you some update about our outlook for 2021. The operating results for the first half of 2021 were very encouraging, and the momentum doesn't slow so far in the current quarter. Although we intend to keep our tradition of a conservative approach in providing forward guidance, the numbers start to speak for themselves. As such, we would like to raise our 2021 total loan volume guidance to be between RMB 340 billion and RMB 350 billion, compared to previous guidance of RMB 310 billion and 330 billion. The revised guidance represent year-over-year growth of 38 to 42%. As always, this forecast reflects the company's current and preliminary view, which is subject to material changes. With that, I would like to conclude our prepared remarks. Operator, we can now take some questions.
Thank you, management. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question to the management, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To cancel, please press 02. For those who can speak Chinese, please kindly ask a question in Chinese first, followed by English translation. Our first question is from Richard at Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
吴总、徐总，非常感谢给我这个提问的问题。我有两个问题想先问一下。 第一呢，就是吴总您刚才提到，现在也是跟这个监管机构沟通，那就是在前一段断直连的过程中呢，大家对这个流程改造有不同的这种预期的说法，不是要最近跟这个征信机构进行交流之后，我们具体的一些有没有一些更具体的方案，就是这个客户的信息的这个传递啊，是如何来做到？ 第二呢，就是想问一下这个在跟监管沟通的过程中，我们现在这个贷款的增速还是比较快的。那当然，这个我们的业绩确实非常亮丽啊。这个我们的规模其实现在也不是特别大。那这方面呢，这个监管有没有一些说法？我们业务确实比较这个简单，也比较干净。那如果相对于这种的这个业务，那
Two questions from me. One is on the basically sending borrower information through the credit scoring agencies. Any detailed discussion on the actual process? Because it's been a little while, and you mentioned basically there's been a further discussion. There's different versions out there. Just want to see what is the latest development on that front. Secondly, is obviously very good loan volume. Any discussion with the regulators in terms of any views and window guidance on the pace at the proper pace? Thank you.
谢谢瑞莎。那个第一个问题，关于断直连，因为征信管理办法是年初的时候就出来了，断直连是从这个办法里面抽象出来的一个简单的一个说法。 那这个说法本身目前呢，应该说停留在这个断直连这个描述上，所以像你说的具体做法呢，我们其实与监管做了比较长时间的沟通，我相信监管也在与行业进行广泛的这个调研，目前我们好像没有看到，关于像你说的具体说法是。 有没有一个行业性的可以推广的一个具体做法，可能还在具体的这个与行业的研讨中，因为整个我们看到关于征信的整改的时间是需要到明年底，所以也留了足够多的这个时间，所以我们认为，关于这个断直连应该还是在一个行业性的这个共同探索中，关于断直连的话，我们的这个郑燕同学跟监管也做了比较多的沟通。
郑燕也没有补充的第一条。对，就断直连这一块，其实强调的是大数据互联网平台应该，通过持牌的一个征信机构进行金融评估类的数据传输，然后实现方式，当然是说是申请去设立征信公司，或者说和已经有的征信公司去进行合作。对，但。 因为我们其实除此之外呢，我们和金盛银行的深度的一个合作关系，也给了我们以上两种合规办法之外去提供的一个第三条的解决道路。但是无论通过哪种方式，我们现在沟通下来，它都不会影响风控数据模型和最终的风控的效果。但是上面不同的模式下，流程的影响可能会有所不同。 对，就目前其实整个这一块的话，但这个流程其实并不会影响到就是我前面说的风控数据的一个最终的效果。对，所以 整个这一块的话，就无论是哪种模式吧，我们认为三元数科都是完全能达成监管的一个要求的。
我要帮忙翻译一下。
Oh, okay, so for the draft version of regulation on the administration of credit assessment business was announced, and we have been communicating with regulators for a long time, but actually in the market that there is no standard solution available so far for now. And also, as Mr. Zheng has mentioned, that actually there are two or three solutions we can about. The first one is that we apply for credit license to launch a new credit agency. And the second one is we cooperate with existing credit agency to continue our business. Also, with our in-depth cooperation with KCB, which offers us another alternative for this solution. Whatever solution we adopt in the end, the process of product might be different. However, it will not affect our results of the risk management and our risk models.
好，那关于第二个问题，我们增速相对比较快，监管对增速的看法。我们看到监管对于整个行业的监管思路是需要去规范行业，进行纠偏。并不是对规模的增长进行调整，相反，我们看到监管在整改要求中有一条也是，希望平台企业能够维持对客户服务的可持续性，保持对实体经济的支持，所以我们认为，增速不是监管特意。去强调的问题，那像另外就是而规范本身是监管更在乎的。
So for your second question regarding to our growth rate, actually we have seen that the growth is not the problem, and the regulators focus more on the standardization of the product and our business.Also, we have seen that in the requirement by the regulators, they have issued that they want the platforms, internet platforms, to sustain the growth and support real economy continuously.
谢谢啊。
Thank you.
感谢，谢谢。
Our next question is from Alex Ye at UBS. Please go ahead.
好，谢谢管理层给我这个提问的机会。我这边有几个问题。首先，第一个关于监管这一块，我想请问一下，目前监管对整个互联网行业的这个监管的收紧的趋势，它在不断的推进中。那其中一点是关于这个互联网企业对数据的收集使用上会不断的规范，未来也可能出台一些更严格的文件。那么想请问一下，这个对于我们未来的一个影响，就是包括我们从客户那边收集到的数据，对这个有未来会不会需要去减少，然后呢，从而对我们的风控方面会不会有一定的影响？第二个是关于这个怎么去符合24%这个利率 cap 的这个进展，就是我刚刚提到说我们在一个 stress test 的情况下，就是说在九月份去达到在24%以下，那看起来这个是一个 stress test， 那我们的一个 base case， 我们的目标是其实是什么一个时间表去达到？这是第二个问题。然后第三个问题就是关于这其实也是跟24%这个利率这个事情相关，就是说有的投资者担心这个是不是意味着监管未来会在这个24%的基础上进一步去这个窗口指导整个行业的平均利率去下降，也就是24%可能未来还会继续往下压。那不知道监管对这个有什么 comment？ 然后呢，也是就是说，可能除了小微贷款以外，可能我们现在也在做小微贷款嘛。那其实小微贷款是不是对24% 以后这个利率继续往下压的这个压力其实会更大，受到这个窗口指导的压力也会更大一些。I will briefly translate my question. First one is on the regulatory development. So it looks like the current direction from the regulators is to continue to tighten the very prospect aspect of the data collection by the internet companies. So I'm wondering, assuming the regulators issue more stringent regulations on consumer data collection and use in the future, how would that affect our current practice of data collection and use, and how would that affect our credit model? Second question is on your plan toward complying with the 20% interest rate cap. So you mentioned that in your stress test, you are going to fully comply with the 20% cap by September this year. But so if that is the stress test, then what's your base case or your target trajectory toward complying with that new cap? And then the third question is also related to the interest rate trend. So there are market concerns about the 20% cap is only just the beginning of the future regulatory requirement of further pushing down the overall lending rates. So I'm wondering if you have any comment on that, and specifically, given you're also ramping up your SME loans, so it looks like this segment will be subject to further pressure from lower rate window guidance. Also, we appreciate your comments. Thanks.
好，谢谢啊。第一个问题，监管对数据使用的限制，这个趋势确实如您所说正在发生，今年应该会比以前更严。那我们对这个事情的判断，监管会在乎几个方面。第一，就是各类属性的业务要遵循最小必要的原则去获取数据。那我们作为一个金融科技平台，我们长期以来一直坚持这个原则，只获取跟那个金融属性相关的数据。那同时我们也会与行业各种规范平台去合作，与征信机构去合作，以及争取把一些外部数据纳入到征信牌照，为我们提供服务。因此我们直接与用户获取的数据已经遵循了最小必要原则，与行业合作的数据我们将通过征信牌照的方式来获取，所以在第一个原则上我们认为不会有太大问题。第二个，监管我认为它在乎的是获取用户数据的方法，是否经过用户的同意，是否有强制用户不给数据就不让使用。那我们认为在方法上我们过去一直以来还是强严重的这个要求我们遵循这个合规要求与用户协商。那这在这个方向上我们认为平台需要以后更加需要重视。我们这次 APP 的这个下架就与这一条的这个疏漏有关系。另外就是这个我们 APP 的这个快速的恢复上架，目前看来也说明我们目前的这个操作已经满足了这个监管的要求，但是平台应该后续会依然用更高的标准来要求我们对于这个数据的规范的遵守和使用。我们相信整个我们一贯的这个严格的自我要求，对于未来更严的这个监管环境下，我们的作业规范将会对业务的影响会在非常可控的范围内。
Okay, thank you Alex for your question. So regarding to your first one, that we see it tightening as well about the data capture and usage in this industry. So for regulator side, we think there are two basic principles. The first one is the minimum standard for data capture. So apart from capturing data from the customer side, like for customer forms or application, we are working proactively with third-party credit agency for industry and external data sources as well as replacement.
And the second principle is that the customer authorization is mandatory before data capture. As you may know that our removal of our 360 Jietiao application from app stores was caused by these problems. So we will emphasize more on this principle in the future. We believe that with our relatively standard process and the impact of these tightening principles will have minimum impact on our business.
第二个关于24定价CAP的这个时间表，我们现在看到的行业市场情况不是特别一致，有的是说要求在明年的6月份把余额消化完，有的是说明年6月份不许再新增24以上，我们应该说总体来看，作为一家这个中间的科技平台， 会按市场的原则来提供这个服务，但是鉴于这个监管的这个大的环境，我们也会在最晚的时间到来之前去主动做一些这个规范，以达到一个更好的这个合规标准。
Regarding to your second question, the timeline of the all-in interest rate cap at 24%. Actually, we see that there are different timelines for different institutions. Some institutions will follow the guideline that the outstanding balance of the loan over 24% will be reduced to zero by end of June next year, and some institutions follow the guidance that there will be no new originations by June next year. So we will follow this accordingly.
关于CAP24这个定价会不会进一步下降，我们认为24这个事情它不是一个新的事情，也不是一个首次提出的一条线，实际上在行业里面我们看到很多银行很早以前就在遵循24这个标准，那这次对销金公司做出这个收缩和约束是对于剩下的一批这个金融机构进行统一规范， 因此我们比较相信24会是这个行业长期以来不管过去还是未来相对这个稳定的一条线，我们也认为金融的监管部门对于利率定价的这个考虑的严肃性和这个可持续性会继续存在这个作为这个行业的这个监管的原则，所以我们 从事实层面和这个监管的这个可连续性层面，我们不认为这个事情会发生很大变化。
Regarding to your third question, that if the 24 interest gap will be lowered more, actually, as all market participants know, 24% interest gap has been the window guidance from regulators to banks for a long time. Recently, media reports speculate that this interest cap requirement expands to consumer finance companies. Since the 24% cap has existed in the industry for quite some time, we don't think the rate cap will further go down. Thank you for your question.
会承受比这个24更大的这个压力，我们认为监管对小微的这个希望应该是说是越低越好的，但是低到什么程度，这个其实没有一个统一标准。那小微其实和这个消费金融在服务的这个范围上有相似性，就是它也存在不同的客户群体，它的普惠 易得性是不一样的，所以呢，我们相信这个领域里面也会存在，因为不同的供给和不同的需求存在多元化的这种服务的可能性。我们作为一家平台公司，我们会更多的是站在这个中间的这个身份里面去撮合不同的供给和不同的需求，而且我也相信监管也能看到这个行业它的需求的这个普惠性的这个必要。谢谢。
And furthermore, regarding to the interest rate of SME loans, of course, regulators want to see the interest rate to be as lower as possible, but there is no standard. As it is similar to the consumer finance industry, there are different and various needs and supplies of the SME loans. As a platform, as intermediary, we will continue to offer the various services to meet different kinds of needs of the SME loans. Thank you.
希望能回答你的问题。好，非常清楚，谢谢。
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Jackie Chu at China Renaissance. Please go ahead.
管理层好，那非常感谢给我提问的机会，也恭喜公司取得了一个非常强劲的业绩。我这边第一个问题是关于监管，那刚才吴总也提到了我们在做这个压力测试的，对这个 24% 这个利率做压力测试之后，这个 margin 可能我们看到明年会降到大概 3% 左右，那想再请教一下这个背后我们对于这个包括 APR funding costs 和一些其他这个 credit cost 成本的这个 假设是怎么样的，然后可能也就是目前我们会不会这个对三季度的这个 APR 的一个水平有一个展望，然后第二个问题就是关于我们 SME 的这个新业务的情况，那这块其实我们看到很多竞争对手也都在向这个方向努力，那我们在 SME 这块有没有一些差异化的一些这个 这个方面，然后我们目前这个 SME loan 的这个产品的APR margin 以及今年的一个增长的这个目标是怎么样的，然后这块的这个 loan volume 是不是包含在我们新的这个 guidance 里面？ So let me translate. So congrats for these strong results. My first question is related to regulation as well. For the 24% interest rate cap, management gave a stress test for next year regarding the margin, probably will go down to 3%. So just want to understand what is our assumptions behind this stress test regarding to APR funding costs and credit costs and other expenses. And any chance we can give it outlook for APR in the third quarter. And second question is regarding to the SME loan. We've seen other competitors also move to this new business. How are we gonna differentiate our SME loan product? And what is the APR margin and our growth target this year? And is this SME loan included in our new loan volume guidance? Thank you.
第一个，关于 24 take rate 会下降的问题，我们现在对这个 take rate 下降的那个做的测试是相对静止的一个测试，就是假设我们在所有效率没有提升的情况下，由于利率的下降，直接导致我们 take rate 降低，那像你说的成本的假设是怎样的？我们也就是说，我们对成本的假设是 没变化的，维持以前的状态，这也就是引出了我们关于这个问题的这个未来 take rate 提升的一个极大的可能性，就是因为我们所假设不变的这些成本，在新的利率下，它是有极大的这个提升空间的。你比如说资金成本，资金成本由于过去24以上我们接的比较多的这个销金公司，而且24以上发行 ABS 的这个规模也不会太大。 相反来讲，调到24以下的时候，我们能够接入更多的这种，股份制银行、全国性银行，它的资金成本，往往来讲比这个销金公司要低很多，所以它能够提供更低的这个资金供给。那由于24以下占我们未来绝大部分这个资产比例的话 ，ABS 的这个发行规模一定会得到一个极大的提升。ABS 的成本和这些大行的成本，会比今天的这个我们合作的销金公司的成本会。 综合看来，由于24的到来，我们整个资金成本能下降1%，可预期1%多点。那同时我们的风险成本在这个利率下也会下降1%到2%。 所以综合看来，我们几个大的成本，包括这个获客，它的生命周期在变得更好，因为留存率变更好，它的这个定价低了之后，它的粘性会更好。所以来讲，我们几项大的成本应该可预期都是有一个比较明显的一个优化空间的，所以它会对我们下降的3%的一个 take rate 有一个非常正面的拉升的作用。
Thank you, Jackie. Regarding to your first question about the stress test, actually what we have delivered now is a relatively static test with all other factors status quo, especially there's no improvement in our efficiency. So we estimate there's no cost changes in this version of the stress test. However, as we have known that there is a still improvement of our cost, for example, for our funding cost, before, we have a large portion of our funding from consumer finance companies with a relatively higher funding cost, and our ABS volume is also limited. However, with a lowering cap interest rate, we can have more funding from national banks or larger national banks, and we can increase our ABS volume. So we expect our funding cost to be lowered by 1%. And we have the credit loss expectation to be lowered by around 1% as well. For another major cost, the customer acquisition cost will be lowered as well. So we expect that actually the take rate of 3% will be improved in the future.
Q3, 我们的 API 是否下降？今天已经是 Q3 的季度中了。我们实际上我们已经在采取一些行动，主动去做一些这个下降的测试，所以呢 Q3 我们理论上是可以看见 API 会有一些这个向下调整的，但是我们认为它会在相对节奏可控的那个这个范围内，也会对这个财务的影响基本上会是非常非常小。
For the third quarter of this year, we have started the lower APR test. So the APR will be lowered, but there will be no meaningful impact on our financial results of the next quarter.
第二个关于这个 SME 的这个竞争优势，我们认为我们在这个业务上的竞争优势还是相当之大。第一，我们今天所做的这个小微的业务，和金融行业过去传统意义上的这个小微是非常不一样的。我们认为可能是属于小小微，传统统计意义上的小微可能建军在几百万甚至到这个一两千万，都可能，而他们的这个风险控制手段更多也不是靠这个数据，可能是靠这个抵押等等类似的一些手段。那我们今天的这个 SME 业务，像我们之前说的，我们的风控引擎是有双重引擎在背后，因为我们把这个小微的这个对象同时看成是一个自然人和一个经营人，所以我们的建军今天看来是25万，它会比传统的这个小微要小很多，比我们过去做的消费金融要大一些，所以它落在一个我们的这个能力圈内。当他被当成是一个自然人的时候，他就落入到我们消费金融控制的这个风险逻辑里去了。我们在这一块的历史的优势是非常非常大的，所以我们小微的这个风险控制能力是能够极大的借助我们在消费金融上所积累的这种风险控制能力。这是我们最根本的这个风控上的这个差异化优势。第二就是我们这个今天在中国有三个平台公司能够相对灵活的与作为这个互联网银行的一个第一股东开展这个深度合作。那银行在小微的这个产品里面有极大的这个资金成本的优势，也有极大的这个这个风险控制的这个数据相关的这个准入的优势。所以我们作为中国唯三的这个平台公司，在这个小微的业务上应该说拥有这个天然的这个各方面的这个壁垒，资金的这个风险控制的，而这种优势我们不认为 在很多进入的这个市场主体身上能看得见。
So for your second question, regarding to our competitiveness of SME loans, so there are two aspects. The first one is about risk management. Our SME business is different from the traditional ones because we focus more on the MSE side. Considering the traditional SME loans are over 10 million ticket size, it's not fully data driven. However, we have adopted the dual engine regarding to our risk management about SME loans. That is, we evaluate from the individual side and from the corporate side. With ticket size of 250,000 on average, we have used and fully utilized our accumulated experience on risk management in the past years on consumer finance. And the second advantage of us is the cooperation with KCB. As the only three platforms in China market that are able to have in-depth cooperation with banks, we believe we have the advantage of data and funding cost regarding to the SME business.
这块业务今年的目标，我们现在看到它的成长性非常好，但是我们也不准备，特别激进的调整我们的这个目标。我们认为今年 SME 业务占我们整体业务的这个比例大约在10%-15%之间，这个目标已经包含在我们整体的这个 guidance 里面了。
So for our target of SME loans this year, it will account for around 10%-15% of our total loan origination, and it has been covered in our guidance.
希望能回答您问题 ，Jack。
很清楚，谢谢吴总。
Okay, Jackie, I have a few sort of a clarification and add up to Mr. Wu's comments there.Number one, the most important clarification that 3% is not a margin. It's the take rate, right? Our net margin this quarter was 40%. And if anything, for the next couple quarters, we'll probably see a little bit expansion of net margin than this Q2. So the 3%, though, is the take rate on loan balance. That's we have been saying this in the past. And then secondly,also regarding the second half pricing trend, even though our stress test was taken a more drastic cut starting from September 1st, basically on that day, everything goes below 24. But in reality, that's not going to be the case. Just like Haisheng mentioned, it's really dependent on the pace of our financial institution partners, their kind of a progress there.So most likely, it will be a gradual trending down toward that kind of a goal by the end of June of next year. So if you do a linear kind of a distribution on any given quarter from now to the mid of next year, you're probably looking at maybe 1% or a little bit over 1% point change in pricing if you just average out. So that's the regarding the pricing change.And then this kind of a change for 2021, for the remainder of 2021, we don't see any kind of a meaningful impact in both loan volume or the take rate. That's why in my prepared remarks, I mentioned that the second half profitability will most likely keep in pace with the loan volume growth.You know, you have our guidance for the full year. You can do the calculation, roughly get the calculation, the probability number for the second half. Okay. So that's the another clarification. Then the third point is really about how do we get that, 3% take rate when this whole thing being said and done. I have a kind of a back in an envelope calculation.Let's assume our current mix in terms of cap light versus cap heavy at 60 versus 40, 60 being the cap light. And normally, the reality is our cap light side of business carry a higher pricing versus the cap heavy. So, if we, let's say, cut all the pricing to 22.5%, Then on the cap heavy side, we need to cut roughly about 2%. On the cap light side, we need to cut roughly about 6.5% to 7%. But keep in mind that 6.5 to 7% cut is actually the overall cut. Remember, we are only taking 30% of that sharing. So 6 to 7% cut to us is only 2% in real impact, right? So essentially the cap light and cap heavy, basically you have a similar 2% impact just by the pricing alone. That's a pre-tax impact. If you add the tax rate on it, the net impact on the pricing alone will probably be somewhere around 1.7, 1.8%, maybe. Okay, so that's a pricing alone. And then, you know, forget about the funding cost savings, the operational efficiency, and all these kind of things. The one clear change will be the risk factor, just simply because when the pricing coming down, you are naturally targeting a high-quality group of users. Okay, for that, by our estimate, the savings from after-tax savings from that sort of a credit cost side will be coming somewhere around 0.6 to 0.8% range. So if you deduct the pricing impact 1.7, deduct 0.6 to 0.8 from the 1.7 to 1.8, you get roughly 1%. That's not even considering anything on the funding cost, on operational efficiency, and all the other things we actually mentioned earlier. So that's the very rough calculation just for your reference.
That's very clear. Thanks, Galis.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. That's the end of the Q&A session. I would like to hand it back to management for briefing closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, again, to join our conference call. And if you have any additional questions, please feel free to contact us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Operator, shall we hang up?
Yes, that's the end of the conference call. You can hang up.